WLFP Braddock.
Hello, once again, you're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, good morning.
These intros are
very confusing.
Yeah, because I don't do the
same.
I have no idea
what you're going to say next.
That's always good, isn't it?
But this is going to be a very interesting show, especially for listeners in our hometown of Pittsburgh, because this is a Think Cleveland program. We had the good fortune to be invited to attend a great big fundraising bash in Cleveland last weekend called Five Star Sensation, and we caught up with some very interesting people while we were there. But let's first of all hear from the person who's responsible for the huge success of this event, Carol Carr.
We're so blessed to have Carol Carr here, who is the life breath and has been for the past 15 to 20 years of this event called Five Star Sensation. Congratulations, first of all, Carol.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the wonderful introduction.
Now, explain how you managed to, first of all, why did you get involved with it?
My mother was diagnosed with cancer, and University Hospital's Ireland Cancer Center saved her life. She lived 15 years and died at the ripe old age of 97.
Now, you were personal friends with Wolfgang Puck, who is absolutely the Wolfgang. Gee, this is good. I thought I had it right all these years. Sounds more like I would pronounce it if I saw it. Wolfgang Puck. And he has been very instrumental, and you've leveraged your friendship with him very well.
Yes, we have. We're a great team. We've known each other for 20 years, and we decided that we love doing this event. And one of the reasons he comes to Cleveland to do the event is because he said the people in Cleveland appreciate everything that the chefs are doing. And there's many cities around the country that don't appreciate or don't act like they're really here and having fun and how wonderful everybody treats them. And they keep coming back. The first time he asked a chef to go to Cleveland, they said, Cleveland? And now the other chefs ask Wolf to come to Cleveland.
He said it's the best party he ever presides over.
And we raised the most money. We raised $2 million this year, and all with volunteer help. Many, many years ago, he asked me if I would come to California and do his benefit, because our benefit, Five Star Sensation, raises a lot more money than they do.
He noted that. And why do you think that is? Why do you think it touches a chord in Cleveland?
I think Cleveland is a very philanthropic city. People come out and they support us. I think we have a wonderful reputation and we've worked very, very hard. It's an event that people want to come to, where, you know, many people buy tables and they give the tickets away because they don't want to go. We don't have any speeches. All we have is fun. Everybody knows why they're here.
Now, when you start, you're going to probably, as soon as this event is over tonight, you're going to start planning next year's event. What will you add or subtract?
It's every other year, but I'm giving my assistant, Cheryl Gutchell, one day off, and we start back on Tuesday. You can always improve. There's no question about it. We have some new people. We had someone new doing transportation and someone else doing the auction. They've already said they know where they can cut the work in half. And that's what we've done. We are on a new site that we've never used before. So we ran into some obstacles, but we had obstacles when we started at the other site. And I think we go back and we actually sit down and spend a lot of time going over the details and seeing what worked and what didn't work, and correct it immediately for the following year.
Well, you know, we are old hands, to say the least, of these festivals. and this is brilliantly run, and I can't recommend it more highly to anybody who really enjoys this kind of a, I mean, it's almost over the top, so splendid food and wine festival. Thank you for having us, and thank you for talking to us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you back here in 2 years.
Well, just to clear up, I've always thought of him as Wolfgang, but that makes it German, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he's Austrian.
But he's been Americanized. That's why it's Wolfgang.
It's Wolfgang.
And let's hear from the man himself.
Now, this is a daunting task, introducing Wolfgang Puck. So I'm not going to do that, because if you don't know who this man is, you probably have been living under a rock for the last 100 years. Hello, Wolfgang.
Hello, it's my pleasure to be here.
Tell us where we are and how you got involved with this project.
Well, we are here at the 5-Star Sensation. This is the greatest party in Cleveland, and it benefits university hospitals, mainly for the cancer clinic, for the children especially, too. So we started that about 20 years ago, I think in 1987, with Carol Carr and David Carr, who got heavily involved in it and who twisted my arm every year to come back. So now, this year, I think is the biggest yet. We have 30 chefs from Paul Prudhomme to Lydia Shire to Nobu Matsuhisa, Gino Angelino, Valentino, and Tavola from New York. And so we have great chefs, great wineries, like Schramsberg Champagne, which is the number one sparkling winemaker. We have Silver Oak and many others. I think it's really such a great event. And we all like to come because the people in Cleveland are really appreciative. They really come up to us and say, thank you for coming. This is delicious. So it's really nice.
Now, it happens every 2 years, but it raises a lot of money.
Absolutely. It happens every 2 years. And Carol told me that this year they raised $2 million, which is a lot of money. I wish when we do our event in Los Angeles, we only raise under $1 million. We never even went over $1 million yet.
What are you cooking tonight?
We have a great menu. As you can see, we have a long line already, but people get their money's worth. We have a Shinoa chicken salad, then we have the Shanghai lobster risotto, then we have some roasted lamb, which we bought from at the Westside Market this morning from a guy named, they call him the Turk, and he has great lamb, so we have that, and then we have some Wagyu steak, the Japanese steak, plus Sherry made all wonderful desserts like a pavlova with blackberries, some blackberry ice cream, and some thing with a hazelnut dessert. So people, when they come to us, you know, they have a whole dinner.
Yeah, I want to get a hold of Sherry, actually, to talk later. One really quick question, which has no quick answer. How did you build this empire? And how do you do it all?
Well, you know, I think I have so many great people working with me. That's why it makes it work, really. I have myself, then I have 7 or 8 people who work with me on all of our new projects, who keep the old projects running. So that's really the main thing. And a lot of people, a lot of chefs, when they get into the business, they think they can open 2, 3, 4, 5 restaurants. But if you don't have an infrastructure, it's impossible. So we build really a good infrastructure. Now we can expand.
Is there anything in the pipeline that would be a coup for us to break news-wise?
Well, there's nothing really in Cleveland yet, but we are getting close. We're going to open this fall in Detroit at the MGM Hotel. So maybe now we are in Detroit. It's only an hour away. We might come to Cleveland.
Any place else in the world? Because this is internet.
Oh, we're going to open everywhere. We're going to open in Washington, D.C. at the museum. Then we're going to open in Vail, Colorado at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Then we're going to open also at the La Jolla Playhouse in San Diego. And then we're going to open one more restaurant at the Venetian in Las Vegas, a cut steakhouse. The rest of the year, we're going to be very busy.
I've never known you not to be busy.
I know. But this year, especially, because in 2 weeks, I'm getting married also. So some extra pressure.
Now, that's good news. Tell us about that.
Well, I met this wonderful woman. And if you want to read about her, it's in Harper's Bazaar this month. She's a handbag designer. I met her quite a few years ago. I fell in love with her. And now we're getting married in Capri, in Italy.
Love Capri. Great place to buy shoes.
It's a great place to buy shoes and jewelry, too, I think so. But I think it's so beautiful there. It's such a picturesque place. I love it.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, someone who's been involved with Wolfgang Puck for a very long time was mentioned in this interview, Sherry Yard, who Anne's known for a long time too, and she's in charge of the pastry part of the Wolfgang Puck empire. So we talked to her too.
essential to Spago, as far as I'm concerned, is Chef Sherry Yard. Sherry, what is your current title?
My current title? Well, my former title was Executive Pastry Wench, but now it's Executive Pastry Chef for Wolfgang Puck Worldwide. So I oversee all the sweets for Wolfgang in every operation, from the pizza dough down to the last petit four at Spago Beverly Hills.
But that's a huge job. How do you do that?
Not bigger than Wolfgang's job. He has to worry about a whole heck of a lot more courses than I do. I only have to worry about one sweet course.
Now, how many years have you been coming to this event?
13 years since I've been with Wolfgang.
It's wonderful.
And talk about getting bigger and more amazing every year. That's this event.
And what exactly did you prepare these? I don't ever talk about desserts, and I freaked out over your desserts.
I freaked out. Well, you know, the funny thing is I was so, I wanted to bring California to Cleveland. So we brought these gorgeous boysenberries, and I made boysenberry ice cream. But then we went down to the market. Now, Wolfgang himself said he wants to live in Cleveland just because of the market down there alone. I was so inspired that we found these wonderful wafers, and we created this, it's called a Magnus Schnitten. It's an Austrian dessert that I created just by looking at the things that were in the market. And it's Nutella and a coffee ganache that sandwiched with these wonderful wafers. And then we did these peach Japanese donuts called the teppanyaki with the nectarines that we got there. And then we picked up some cherries, and we reduced them down with some port. Unbelievable. And we made a pavlova with peach ice cream that we got at the market.
You know,
this went so crazy. We were so excited. We couldn't stop looking.
That's the West End Market you're talking
about. West End Market. And Gus and Mark and the whole gang down there couldn't have been more nice to us. And we can't wait to come back.
Now, just an aside, I've tried to make pavlova. When I lived in Australia, I made perfect pavlova with an Australian recipe. It doesn't work in the States. What's the difference?
You know, it's the eggs matter, and it takes time to dry them out. And so quite often the ovens don't have the a flow the same way they do there. That said, the pavlova that I make is a secret recipe, and I'll give you and only you the secret, which is I use only confectioner sugar, 10 ounces of confectioner sugar, which is 2 cups, with 1 egg white only. It comes out like a very tight ball, okay? Very, very tight. You say, oh, no, this isn't going to work. But you put it in the microwave for 30 or 40 seconds, depending upon the power in your microwave, and you get perfect pavlova.
In a microwave.
In a microwave in 30 seconds.
I can't believe this. I once served it, and my guest said this is the first dessert I've had to eat with a knife and fork.
And it normally takes about 2 hours to make. This is 30 seconds. I don't have time. You know, you work with Wolfgang. You got to be fast.
Peter wanted to ask you a question. There's been a trend towards all dessert restaurants. What do you think of the trend?
I think it's wonderful because, as a pastry chef, Wolfgang himself was a pastry chef before you become a chef, and that's European tradition. You always apprentice in pastry. So we all know about food as much as many of the chefs. And so why not start our own restaurants that do have savory elements to them? My friend Piché Ong has a restaurant in New York called Pong, and he has wonderful starters with like the gougères that we had here.
Well, did we just?
I don't know what happened. We got cut off.
I must say that this event was just.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to have more about it the other side of the break, but I think we need to take a break now.
T1 Internet access wasn't affordable to many companies as little as 2 years ago. Service providers were charging in the thousands of dollars, keeping the benefits of a T1 connection out of most companies' reach. ASP Station is now offering the faster and more reliable T1 service at a price significantly less than 2 years ago. The speed of a T1 for both sending and receiving data is simply amazing and will change the way your business runs indefinitely. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. Call ASP Station now for details. 412-661-6001. 412-661-6001. Log on aspstation.net for more information. ASP Station, it's the way to go fast.
Call ASP Station now for details. 412-661-6001. That's 412-661-6001. Log on aspstation.net for more information. ASP Station, it's the way to go. Fast.
Hi, everyone. This is Tom Rita, the networking guy and host of Pittsburgh's most unique business show, Business in the Fast Lane. We're on every Saturday morning from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on The Edge, 1550 a.m. For the past 24 months, we've been bringing the best and the brightest into our studios to offer you ideas, advice, and real-world examples to help you grow your business. So save those honeydews for the afternoon and join me, Tom Rita, every Saturday morning from 12 to 1 on The Edge for Business in the Fast Lane, Pittsburgh's best kept secret.
Teach your child the responsible use of online resources. Tell them up front what your rules are for internet use and the consequences of breaking them. Take some time to explore valuable uses of the internet with your child. This safety tip brought to you by Pennsylvania Learners Online Cyber School. For more information on how your child can attend classes from home at no cost to you, visit www.palearnersonline.net or call the Allegheny Intermediate Unit at 412-394-5700.
Well, I was a little nervous. First time I went into an elementary school classroom as a junior achievement volunteer. But when I saw how eager the kids were, I knew it was going to be all right. They're so thrilled you're there.
If you've ever wondered what you can do to help kids expand their horizons, find out about our new elementary school volunteer program. Call 1-800-THE-NEW-JA. That's 1-800-THE-NEW-JA. A public service message brought to you by Junior Achievement and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Remember to check out our website, onthemenuradio.com, and catch up on where we're going and what we're doing.
Yeah, you
and,
never know where we might go next. We might even go back to Cleveland. But
we loved Cleveland.
Yeah, let's just set the stage for this event just a little more than we did already. Imagine a piece of blacktop about the size of Heinz Field. Playing surface, totally covered by a tent and surrounded by kitchens. And Wolfgang Puck's kitchen, Paul Prudhomme's kitchen, Gordon Hammersley's kitchen were almost as big as the kitchens they have in their restaurants. And they were set up ringing the tent. And then inside the tent were almost 2,000 people. But it didn't seem busy.
It was not crowded. It was not claustrophobic.
Everybody went around from food station. Everyone went to bar to wine pouring to food station. But everyone had a seat. At a table if they wanted one.
Yeah, they had assigned seats.
Yeah, so it was extraordinarily well organized, and it was also a very pleasant evening. It didn't rain.
Every single chef we asked, why are you here? They said, because...
Wolfgang asked us.
Wolfgang, even though they were cooking for 2,000 people, there was no expense spared. They brought their top ingredients, top recipes... produced fabulous food. They had the best booze around.
Yeah.
And we met
Wolfgang Puck, we met Sherry Yard, we met another old friend that we're going to be talking to later. But most interestingly, we caught up with a chef who almost defined a revolution in Southern cooking with spices, blackening redfish and accounting for almost the entire population of Louisiana redfish. I'm talking about, of course, Chef Paul Prudhomme from K. Paul's restaurant in New Orleans. And he was there
on the menu gets to talk to a lot of the culinary icons, but probably never anyone as great as Chef Paul Prudhomme, who had a titanic influence on the shape of cuisine in this country and probably the world. I'm so honored to be talking to you, Chef.
Thank you. It's an honor to meet you, and you know, cooking is a very simple thing. You do it right, and it's wonderful.
Now, you're at this event, of course. How many years have you been coming to this event?
Well, this is my first time. I didn't know about the event until this time. But Wolfgang and I started Meals on Wheels. I was there for the first one, and I've been to most of his Meals on Wheels. And we do a lot of charity work, but I'm looking forward to the one in Los Angeles because it's our 25th year.
I have to ask you, did you ever, when you started cooking, envision that you would launch a whole new culinary sensation?
No, it was never the intention of what we do or what I do. You know, I had a great family. They had great culture. They had great food. And all I've been doing is just sort of understanding more and more about our culture and more about our food and just stretching it out and turning it into a lot of different things that they never could do because we lived on a farm without gas or electricity, and we raised everything that we ate, or we went and got it in the fields, or we got it in the swamps, or we got it in the bayou, and that's the way I grew up. And my family arrived in Louisiana in 1760, so we've been there a long time doing Louisiana food and taking that culture and doing understanding the traveling the world and understanding other cultures. You know, it's just been a way to me to understand how to expand our cultural food, and it's really been a great time for me.
Now, I mean, did you just interpret a lot of tradition in your family, or did you create something very new and special on your own?
No, I when I was 5 years old, my dad said, help your mom, because there was only three sisters and I was 10 brothers. And so when I started helping mom, she would tell me things about cooking, and everybody said she was the best cook in the area. And I mean, we always had 15, 20 people at the house on Sundays. And so she taught me method, and she taught me quality, and everything that we did was fresh, or we had processed it ourselves, like sausages, we had processed it ourselves, or ham, when she said, we're going to have fish, you got a fishing pole, and you went like two city blocks away into where the bayou was, and you could bring fish back in a half hour, 45 minutes. And so, and enough to feed the whole family. And so we lived that way, and we do butchering of animals, and you know, I mean, the freshness of what we did just stayed with me till today. And I can't eat things that are old, because, you know, are frozen. The restaurant that I own has never had a freezer in it. I don't have a freezer in my house. It's a thing that I believe in is freshness, and we're able to continue to do it for the last 29 years at the restaurant, Cape Paul's Louisiana Kitchen in the French Quarter. And we're going to continue with it because, you know, if you're creative, you don't need to have the certain fish every day, or you don't have to have chicken every day. You don't have to have duck every day. Whatever you can get, you make dishes with it. And that's more fun and more exciting, especially for the customers, than it is to have a regular menu.
Did you ever regret the what happened when you introduced black and red fish?
You know, in some ways I did, and because first of all, it killed off a species, but they're back now, which is great, and we're talking to the regulators and asking them to put it back on as a fish that we can use to cook with, because the redfish that they raise just don't taste the same. And so, but it's, you know, the only thing I've ever wanted to do was be proud of my culture and be able to share the wonderful flavors that I remember as a child. And then I started traveling, and I realized that every culture had their own thing. I would take cooking lessons from somewheres in Europe or somewheres in Asia, and I would come home and try to duplicate what we did there. And I realized that's why Louisiana food is so misunderstood, is when you take a food out of a region or out of a culture, you know, you can't duplicate it.
Paul, you've had such an incredible life. It's not always been easy. I mean, you're probably the most recognizable celebrity chef to start with. But you've had a lot of ups and downs in your personal life, haven't you?
Yes, I think everybody has a different kind of ups and downs in their life, and you know, you just march through it, and you trust your faith and your your actions and your faith and in God, and just move on. That's all you can do.
Now, have you ever had a reconsideration of your style of cooking?
No, I've learned a lot of other kinds of cooking, and I sort of mesh it into what we do, but not at the restaurant. At the restaurant, I mean, there is times we'll do something and use sesame oil, or, you know, use ginger in it, like this dish has ginger in it. But, you know, and basically what we do at the restaurant is the same thing that we've been doing but in another way, in other words, in different kind of flavors than what we've done all along. Now, method is the same in the sense of true Louisiana food with flavors and with the emotion of it and with the freshness of it.
I mean, I would think that my great culinary heroes all come out of that area. I mean, John Foles and John Besh. And I mean, why is it so incredible?
Well, it's you grow up with wonderful food. And once you understand the emotion of it, that it makes people happy and that it's good for your body if you do it right and if you do it healthy. And once you start understanding that, you want to do it for other people, and that's what hooks you, and you become a professional cook, and you just keep driving at it until you die. At least everybody you mentioned is going to keep doing it until we die. I know the guys very well, and John Besh is absolutely wonderful. John Foles is, he's got a little empire over there where he lives, and, that's what we do. We enjoy doing it.
Is there something you'd like to do next?
Well, I just continue on with what I'm doing, and making people happy is my eternal mission. And I can't imagine ever turning away from that because it makes me feel good. It makes other people feel good. And what else in life is there except other people and feeling good?
Has American cuisine made any bad trips lately? Stumbled.
I don't, I don't get to go, and especially in the last 4 or 5 years, I don't get to go out and eat outside a whole lot. I'd gotten to the point where when I was 55 years old, which is 17 years ago, I realized that I needed to get rid of some of the weight that I had, and so I started watching what I eat, and I don't go out to eat like I used to back then. And so I really don't have a pulse of the city, of the restaurants around the country. And I know that we've got a lot of great chefs. I do events with them, and their food and their philosophy is right on. So it's, I think we got a great culture of cooking that's rising in this country, and people are proud of it, and it's really wonderful.
Do you feel driven to teach?
Every day.
Well, with that, I think it's time, is it, John, to take a break? Take a break.
Furnace working okay? How's your heating bills? You know, no kidding, an old or inefficient furnace can really add to the cost of keeping your home warm. If you want to keep costs down, get your furnace looked at, and I recommend Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning for that. The technicians at Bolster to Heart have been performing routine maintenance and installing high-efficiency heating and air conditioning systems in Pittsburgh since 1977. They're EPA-certified professionals who are continually factory-trained in all the latest installation and service techniques. They offer free estimates and don't even charge extra for Saturday service. They're a quality dealer you can trust. Stay warm this winter at the lowest possible cost. Call Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning at 412-367-3900. Maintenance or installation, Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning, 412-367-3900.
Did you know that Pennsylvania has a seatbelt law? We do, and we're enforcing it. This is Colonel Miller, Commissioner of the Pennsylvania State Police. If you are stopped and cited for speeding or any other violation, and you are not wearing your seatbelt, you are liable to get 2 tickets. One for speeding, one for not wearing your seatbelt. That's 2 tickets, 2 fines. When it comes to seatbelts, click it or ticket. This message brought to you by Governor Edward G. Rendell, the Pennsylvania State Police, and PennDOT.
The internet is crucial to your business. Everybody knows this, but did you know Nidhogg is the company you should call for internet service? Nidhogg, personal web page hosting for less. Business web page hosting, Nidhogg offers both Unix and NT server support. Nidhogg is the company you should call for dedicated internet access. Nidhogg offers DSL for high speed, low cost, always on access. DSL is great. It means no more dial up. Oh, by the way, do you remember that thing called the telephone? Do you remember when people used phone lines to access the internet? Oh, I'm sorry, you still use dial-up? Well, Nidhogg does that too. Local access telephone telephone numbers? Okay, I don't understand it all either, but I do know that I need it, and I know where to get it. Nidhogg, NIDHOG.com, 412-661-5917. That's 661-5917, or log on, Nidhogg.com. Internet the Nidhogg way.
The flagship station of the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is 1550 WLFP, Pittsburgh.
Nobody in his right mind would lie on a sheet of glass and have a steamroller crush his body. Nobody in his right mind would try to levitate from 500 feet above the Las Vegas Strip. But Chris Angel isn't in his right mind. That's what makes him the Mind Freak. Tomorrow on A&E, it's the mind-blowing hit series, Chris Angel, Mind Freak. Mind Freak! Tomorrow at 10, 9 Central, only on A&E.
Hi, friends. I'm Phil Marcus, the host of Real Estate 101, heard every Saturday here on The Edge, AM 1550. If you've been thinking about selling your house or buying a house, I'd like to speak with you. Choosing the right agent is one of the first and most important steps in the process of buying or selling real estate. It's critical that you choose an agent who has the knowledge and experience to not only find that perfect new home for you, but to also be able to guide you step by step through the often complicated real estate process. If you don't already have a realtor, may I offer my services? I've been a real estate agent in Pittsburgh for almost 30 years. I'm a life member of the Realtors Association, and I'm proud to say that I've earned both the GRI and the coveted CRS professional designations. Won't you call me at RE/MAX Heritage? The phone number is 412-241-4200, extension 154, or my email address is phil@philmarcus.com. That's 412-241-4200, extension 154, or phil@philmarcus.com. Let's talk.
You're still listening to Ann and Peter Haig on The Menu, and we're still talking about Five Star Sensation in Cleveland, which we thoroughly enjoyed and every time they have one.
There was such an incredible array of chefs. I mean, there was Roberta Donner from Galileo in Washington, D.C., the sous chef from Custom House in Chicago, Floyd Cardoz from Tabla was there. Both the Valentino restaurants, the one in Las Vegas where Luciano Pellegrini, who's been on the show before, is the partner, and
Pierre Savaggio.
And then Pierre Savaggio from the original Valentino in Santa Monica.
And Nobu.
Nobu was there. We said hello to him. There was a limit to who we could catch up with because everybody was working hard too. These guys were cooking like crazy. But our old friend Gordon Hammersley from Hammersley's Bistro in Boston always seems to be so much in control of what's going on. We said, well, surely, Gordon, you can tear yourself away, because the last time I was at his restaurant, he tore himself away in the middle of dinner service on a Friday evening and recorded an interview with me right there. So we said, you must have time to do that now for us. So he was kind enough to come over and chat with us on The Menu.
We love Gordon Hammersley of Hammersley's Bistro in Boston. I mean, you've been on our show before, but I miss you when I don't get to talk to you, so here we are. Now, you said you've been coming to this five-star sensation since when?
I've been doing it since 1999. It's one of the most amazing events. I mean, when you think about the amount of money that's raised in one night with the amazing amount of volunteers, the dedication of people for the university hospitals, it's just a fantastic event. And, you know, I keep coming back because, first of all, Wolfgang asked me, and secondly, because it's just a great time, you know, and it's a great excuse to come to Cleveland.
Yeah, everyone says because Wolfgang asked us, that's the catch here. What are you cooking tonight?
We're making a traditional lobster salad. It's Maine lobster and baby asparagus and green beans. And it's tossed in a very light mayonnaise, and it's a traditional dish. We don't eat anything in New England other than this dish in the summer. And then I'm making a wild mushroom risotto with aged goat cheese. And we're doing a lime curd and strawberries macerated in pink champagne.
You're killing me because I'm working and everybody's eating your food.
You got to come over and eat.
Now, let's go back to your restaurant. You're celebrating your 20th anniversary.
Yeah, 20 years. We opened in July of 1987, and Fiona and I have been doing this for 20 years now. So Yeah, we're having a great time. Everything is going great, and it just gets better and better. It's a wonderful thing.
Is there anything in the pipeline for something different?
No, I wrote a cookbook a few years ago called Bistro Cooking at Home.
We use it every day.
Thank you very much. And so I really love the process of writing books, so I'm going to continue doing that. I'm just starting a new one now.
And what's it about?
It's going to be called Recipes from a Vermont Farmhouse, and we have a small farm up in Barnet, Vermont, and so I'm going to go up there and cook from the farmhouse and see what I can find in the local markets and in the streams and in the woods and put together recipes from that. So,
just so you don't put any bluefish recipes, because I'm getting fed up with bluefish because Peter cooks it over and over.
Well, bluefish is my favorite fish in the summer, and we catch them right off the coast of Massachusetts, and there's nothing better than a fresh bluefish. Put a little spice on it, throw it on the grill. There's nothing better, in my opinion. And so I like Peter's style. I think he's cool. I think you should keep eating that bluefish. And it's great for you. It's got all those omega-3s.
It tastes better when you get it right out of the water rather than you get it in Pittsburgh.
It's true. I mean, Pittsburgh might not be my first choice for bluefish.
You guys are tough.
We're tough, I know.
You're tough on me.
He's a great guy.
I'm just doing the best I can on my budget and using Gordon Hammers' recipe for barbecued bluefish. If you want the recipe and you don't have the book, you can always send us an email and I'll send it to you. Or you can buy the book at OTM Bookshelf because it's an excellent book.
Recipes that
Gordon cooks every day, and we enjoy all of them.
Well,
so he was just such a great guy to catch up with, and just another sample of what a wonderful event Five Star Sensation is now. A funny thing happened on the way to planning to go to Cleveland. It turns out that the day before this event was Ann and Peter's wedding anniversary. Now, we're not going to tell you how many years it is, but it's more than 5 and less than 50. And you can guess somewhere in between. I said, well, we've been threatening to visit the Baricelli Inn and Chef Paul Minillo in Cleveland for probably about 4 years since we met him for the first time and interviewed him for On the Menu shortly after we started the program. So I said, why don't we have a romantic evening in Cleveland?
We'll have dinner,
we'll stay over.
Where are you going for
People asked us, what are we doing? We said we're going to have a naughty weekend in Cleveland. So we did. And we caught up with Chef Paul Minillo before dinner on Friday evening because he was jetting off for Rome the next day.
Right.
Overnight, Saturday night, he was going to cook for 40 people in business class on Continental Airlines on their way to Rome and then stay there for a few days. In the meantime, we caught up with him and talked to him about what it's been like to own and run the Baricelli Inn for all these years. So let's go to the tape.
Paul Minillo, we need to have a story about how you started this wonderful restaurant in Cleveland called Baricelli Inn. And I know you do this story well because I've heard it.
Well, we have this beautiful brownstone mansion, and I thought that it was really a no-brainer to turn it into an inn because we have the second and third floor and a great restaurant. And that's what we did. We bought it in 1979 and opened up for business in 1985. So we're going on our 22nd year in business.
Now, you are a chef.
Yes. I'm third generation, trained in, of all places, England, but with a Swiss chef named Anton Musiman, who was at the time at the Dorchester Hotel. So I spent 6 months with Anton. And with the background I had of food, plus working with Musiman, it was an invaluable experience.
Now, you once told a story, though, that you thought this was going to be like Europe. Cleveland was going to be like Europe. And you assumed that everybody checking into the inn would eat in your restaurant. And you found out differently.
Well, America's different than Europe. I mean, I went to all the great places in France, Georges Blanc, and they're not coming to me right now, but
it's called brain freeze.
But over there, Boyer up in Reims, you go and you check into your room and they say, what time would you like to have dinner? I mean, they know that you are going there to eat. You do not dare go anywhere else. In America, they don't look at it as an inn as like an inn in Europe. They come in and they think they have a hotel room for the night, but they're going to eat somewhere else, which was really crushing to me because I couldn't fathom that somebody would stay in this building and not eat the great cuisines that we were putting out for the customers.
You started, how to phrase this, okay, the style of cuisine that you serve, and how did you make your mark? Because this is one of the most respected restaurants, certainly in Cleveland and in much of the east part of the United States.
Well, my cuisine at the time, Muzzyman was definitely trained in French traditional, and that's what I brought back. Even though I'm from an Italian family and I have a background of Italian food, my grandparents had a restaurant. We've been in the restaurant business since 41. And I came back here and did the traditional French sauces and veal stock-based sausages. No cutting of quality or corners. Nothing but the best. And we did that and still do it for many, many years. And that's where we got our reputation of fine cuisine.
Your son is also a chef.
Yes, he's been at the French Laundry for 10 years and now at Per Se for 3 years. And he's 30, and he was my exit strategy, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen because he's very happy being in New York and California.
That's very cute, the exit strategy. And now Peter always repeats the story of the $50 a pour Armagnac. Do you remember that, Peter?
Okay, if he doesn't remember, he doesn't remember. We had a special dinner here one night with a client of mine back in 1988, Dr. Raymond Neff, who stayed here for about 3 months. He was a very good client. And one of the potential suppliers to a project I was working on that time had a private dinner for us, which you catered for us. And the old Armagnac came out after dinner. And we said, why don't you leave the bottle? So the cash register must have been going ching, ching, ching that night because I think we finished it. But that's another story.
Well, you know, I think that what we do next is we move on to fast forward the next part of the story. And we're going to talk about that next.
And we're actually going to pick that up in the next segment, I think.
Yep. So it's time, is it?
No, it's not time yet. But the segment was too long to fit the next advertisement.
That section of Cleveland is a very convenient place to stay at the Barrichelli Inn because
it's called the Cultural District, I guess. And in the Cultural District, on one edge is Case Western Reserve University and the Cleveland Clinic. On the other side of the Case Western campus is University Hospitals of Cleveland. Across the street is Severance Hall, which is the Symphony Hall, the equivalent of Heinz Hall. Right in behind that is the Cleveland Museum of Art, currently closed, regardless of what you read, because it's being totally rebuilt and parts of it will reopen next year, parts of it will reopen later, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
Right, because now we have to take a break.
An Old West preacher.
You a religious man?
At the moment, I'm on a sabbatical.
Is forced to take justice into his own hands.
That was my church. They're gone. Murdered.
So he came back for revenge.
All right, let's ride!
They got guns and they'll use them.
They both want it, dead or alive. You choose.
Kevin Sorbo is Avenging Angel. Premieres tomorrow night at 9, 8 central. Only on Hallmark Channel.
Did you know that Pennsylvania has a seatbelt law? We do, and we're enforcing it. This is Colonel Miller, Commissioner of the Pennsylvania State Police. If you are stopped and cited for speeding or any other violation, and you are not wearing your seatbelt, you are liable to get two tickets, one for speeding, one for not wearing your seatbelt. That's two tickets, two fines. When it comes to seatbelts, click it or ticket. This message brought to you by Governor Edward G. Rendell, the Pennsylvania State Police, and PennDOT.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Join us for the Apollo moon landing celebration July 17th through the 21st, Apollo PA. 5 great days of family fun, featuring the award-winning Katanning Fireman's Band, games and rides for the kids, nightly entertainment, food. It's just good old summer fun. The Apollo moon landing celebration, July 17th through the 21st at Owens Field in Apollo.
Roger. We copy you down, Eagle.
A message for older drivers from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
If you find that you have to drive at night, travel in well-lighted areas when possible.
Make sure your headlights are clean.
Keep your windshield clear, both inside and out.
Avoid driving at night in the rain or other foul weather.
Also, try to avoid busy streets or other stressful situations.
It's what makes an older driver a wiser and safer driver.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222.
On the menu, reflecting on the wonderful time we had in Cleveland. Before we talk some more about the city and its attractions and some of the other things we did, let's just catch the end of our interview with Paul Minillo at Barrichelli Inn. Paul, we were talking about your opening concept and how you survived all these years, putting your food out that was really French-inflected and top-of-the-line. And probably a little bit more formal than you are now, there was a change in direction. Can you tell us what led to that and what kind of changes we could expect to see with your new menu?
Okay, well, we were fine dining, and we are not a city that gets a lot of international people into it. So we're really dependent on repeat business. And I saw that people were only coming in here once or twice a year, and I wasn't happy about it because I am a person who wants to put a great meal out and use great products and never sacrifice on quality, and it can be done at the moderate end as well as the high end. So we're doing a different concept now where we are becoming less formal. We've kind of turned from France. We're still doing some French food, but we're starting to do a little bit of Italian food, and we're putting pastas on the menu, small portions, big portions. People can have them, a small portion as an entree, and we're seeing a lot of people are doing it, and it's increasing our day-to-day traffic, which makes me happy because I got to be here and be happy.
Well, you certainly, I think, really read the pulse of the times in dining very well. And I looked at your menu, and I was amazed at the pasta selection because I've not seen that many places with the choice of size. What are some of the other dishes that are on your current menu you'd like to tell us about?
Well, we're definitely going with the season. And when we did this menu, it was about a month ago. I wasn't crazy about tomatoes, so I'm doing buffalo mozzarella with roasted red peppers. When in another month, I'll be doing that dish with heirloom tomatoes that were growing right in the backyard. So, you know, I want fresh and I want in season. And we're doing, you know, we do a salumi board, which is fun. It's a real Italian item that people start off their meal with. A guy in New York, Mark Belisi, he's from Piedmont, makes all our salamis. They use them at Per Se in the French Laundry. And I'm thoroughly happy with the quality of these meats. So we're doing that. We're also keeping our cheese, which we introduced it about 6 years ago. We opened this affinage cour up. So that's going to stay on the menu. And then we expanded our salads. We used to do two salads. Now we're doing four. They were usually around $12 to $15, and we're doing $7, $8, and $12. So we're giving people options.
Well, I mean, I think you've just hit the nail right on the head. And I must say that the staying here is more fun than anything, because I'd never done that, and Peter had never done that. But tell us a little bit about the rooms.
The rooms, we've kept the building with Italian motif. All the linens and everything in the armoires are from Italy. It's like an old European inn. It's been that way, and we've tried to maintain it that way with a nice breakfast in the morning, very small, personal service, and you know, try to get people that want to get away from where they are, come in, get a room, have a cheese board, a bottle of wine, nice dinner, and just go up and fall asleep and wake up in the morning.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Now, let's just make a quick note where we are. We're in the cultural heart of Cleveland, not the downtown heart of Cleveland. Paul, am I correct?
You are in University Circle, which is where Cleveland Art Museum, Severance Hall, where our great orchestra plays. We have a wonderful botanical garden called the Cleveland Botanical Garden. It is just a great area of the city of Cleveland, and we are in the middle of a huge renovation for the art museum, almost an $80 million renovation, which will definitely put the Cleveland Art Museum in one of the top art museums of the United States.
So this is not just the home of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Principal owner George Gund, a founder of the Cleveland establishment. This is also the heart of cultural Cleveland and a place you all should come. Now, Paul, I understand it's arrivederci. You're off somewhere early tomorrow?
I'm off to Rome, Italy. I'm one of Continental Airlines' international first-class chefs. There's four of us, and I'm doing chef on board. And hopefully I put out a nice meal for the 40 people up front. And then I get four great days in Rome, Italy.
Well, he's always fun. I really like him.
He is. Yeah. And what do we eat? Let's just, can you remember?
Yeah, we started, you insisted on the salumi.
Well, of course I insisted on the salumi. And you had a salad, I think. While I was having salami, while you were having a salami, we had a salad.
And then
of some
we split
kind.
the simple salad.
Yeah, and then we had a taste of pasta.
We took it split actually a small platter. I can't imagine what a large platter would be like. And we had I had the pork chop.
You did. You had a pork chop.
Wasn't it the pork chop?
I think it was. It's not like you to have a pork chop,
but you had a hanger steak.
And I had a hanger steak. Both quite excellent. This is a good, folks, this is a good place to go. They also have an excellent wine cellar. It's an absolutely charming neighborhood. The section, Baricelli, and it's called Little Italy. And although they closed one of the roads giving access, so we had a little bit of trouble getting there because the Cornell Road Bridge is out. Fortunately, as we were walking around, we walked rather a lot, and the shortcut on our way back was to go over the Cornell Road Bridge, and they allow pedestrian access across that bridge, even though the bridge itself is closed.
And we went to the Art Institute and saw wonderful Ansel Adams, black and white photography is what he did exhibit, that was so absolutely amazing that Peter said he may never pick up another camera again.
Yeah, the other thing I can do is that at least buy it in color.
Exactly.
and then right next to that is a building Anne had always wanted to see, called the Peter Lewis Building or something like that, and it's the business school of Case Western Reserve University.
And it's like an explosion of titanium with some stabilizing elements of brick on the facade.
Yeah, I didn't think it worked all that well on the outside. It sort of looked like a slightly down-market version of the famous Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao.
In Bilbao.
But inside was well worth going in.
It was curves everywhere you went.
Yeah, somebody had told us that you couldn't really get in unless you had a student ID or a faculty ID, but we went into the building and we asked the guard at the desk, and she said, you can go anywhere you like on this floor. So we looked around the whole of the interior, and it's really quite a brilliant interior.
Yeah.
The only thing that struck us as bizarre is that, obviously there are now laptop computer users everywhere on campus. So they had a series of power strips, Velcro attached.
Yeah, that was a little tacky.
to one of Frank Gehry's architectural elements, in order to be able to provide for.
And it wasn't holding up.
No. Some of them were falling off as well.
Yeah.
And the curious thing for me in particular, and if there are any of my old business acquaintances out there on the other end of the set, you probably know that I did a lot of work in networking of college campuses, and Case Western Reserve was one of the first and biggest. The outlets still look exactly the same. But in this particular building, the fiber optic connections aren't being used. What's happening is most people now are using wireless.
Yeah.
So they're using Wi-Fi instead, a technology which didn't exist when we worked on that. But we
My
did.
Favorite thing was a young student we ran into. Well, he said, oh, I cabled this campus in 1988, and he responded, looking at you, I wasn't even born yet.
But I said, how do you like your network? He said, we have a gigabit per second to my desktop. I have five computers attached to it, all running flat out. He said, it's absolutely fabulous. Yeah. So,
and then let's not miss that one of my biggest surprises. I'm thinking, what next are we going to do in Cleveland? And one of the other main attractions is a place that you never expected me to want to go to.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we went there, and it was,
I loved it.
It was really fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And it costs $20 a head to go, but it's worth the experience.
Oh, I loved it. Every minute of it.
If you're a rock fan, rock on down. And it's not difficult to find because it's right next to the football stadium.
It's pretty big.
So Steeler fans, you know exactly where it is.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think we're running out of time.
Are we running out of time?
I think we
we're
are.
We're running out of Cleveland, too, huh?
And we're running out of Cleveland.
One of these days, we'll have to get somebody to come on and explain to us what a full Cleveland is. It's some kind of way of tying a necktie.
All right.
Put you on a teaser.
Well, let's
save that for
everyone,
another time.
Yeah, and see everybody next week, same time.
Same place.
Bye-bye.
Jazzin' Around with David J is next on The Edge, AM 1550.
It all happened so fast. It was loud and scary, and I was trapped.
Katie is a kindergarten teacher in Pennsylvania. She was a passenger in a car struck head-on by a reckless driver.
That's when I met my guardian angel. His name is Sean, and he's a paramedic. Sean was there for me when I needed him. He knew just what to do, and he knew the right things to say.
Choose a career in emergency medical services. Call toll-free 877-PA-MEDIC. That's 877-PA-MEDIC.
Pennsylvania needs more guardian angels. I had mine, and he made all the difference.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.